Hi, welcome to the Sam Welding Podcast, where I look behind the scenes at writing books and songs. I hope to look at the whole process from the creative spark to the final customer reaction. A lot seems to happen in a week just now. With my Damien Peck author hat on, I've been asked to be guest speaker at a very interesting event in Dumbarton. It's called Enchanted Emotions. It's an art exhibition. It's a thought-provoking art collection, actually, created by local artists with a lived experience of mental health. The exhibition wants to highlight the emotional impact that art can have on us all. It's the event's fourth year at Leavengrove Park, and I think it has a worthy ambition. It wants to embrace the power that art has to tackle stigma and to promote recovery. So I said yes. As it's in the local park, it's virtually an outside venue, so we are told to wrap up warmly, but the soup and cake will be provided. So looking forward to that on the 30th of October. With my Sam Welding hat on, two main events have been confirmed. One at the Scottish Parliament with the Scottish Government and Ask Me UK, where we'll launch our FitStars programme into schools across Scotland. And two, an amazing author assignment has just been confirmed, where I'm to travel to Indonesia to work with children in the Balinese Highlands. The Bali Project is actually a life changer. I will be out there in May 2015 and I'll work with a fantastic charity called the East Bali Poverty Project. Google it and see what they got up to. But my main objective will be to facilitate primary six children writing their own leaflet or small picture book on sanitation and nutrition. It will have to be fun and educational at the same time. I hope that my visit will be as exciting for them as it will be for me. I also hope to form links between children in the Balinese Highlands and children in the Scottish Highlands. There has to be some synergy there, and the cross-cultural possibilities and potential learnings are massive. With flights now all booked and some Scottish schools on board already, it's now time to get the ball rolling. So we'll be organising school projects running up to the trip, question-answer sessions, video links and podcasting during the trip, and some good old-fashioned letter writing. They'll all be in the mix. The children are also desperate to learn English out there, so hopefully some of my Tiffy Toffy picture books will help there too. These books, featuring two sister mice, have worked well already in places like Uganda to get children reading, and we hope to send some out before we go. My daughter tells me that there are man-eating panthers, skin-burrowing spiders, box jellyfish, and five kinds of deadly snake out there. Thanks, Ruth. So there should be plenty for the Scottish school kids to get their teeth into. We, of course, have midges and adders, and not forgetting Nessie to deal with, so I reckon they've got a lucky out there anyway. We will also be comparing music, art and myths. So again, lots to do and prepare before I go. There will need to be some fundraising before I go too, as we need to keep things going after I come back, and everything costs money these days. So I'll get some nights in my diary, and no doubt some music will be involved. Again, with my Sam hat on, I had the Lanark Encounters Festival this week, where I need to deliver three separate workshop presentations in the one day. I'll need a wee lie down after that, I think. As far as my writing goes, I need to get stuck into Dead Dog Beach and Bare Naked. But before I tell you what those two chestnuts are all about, I thought I would give you an outline of one of the books I'll be covering at the festival this week. Windscape. Windscape is the fastest book I've ever written. It must have taken 5 weeks to finish the 50,000 words or so, and to get the basic idea on the page. I wasn't that well a few Christmases ago, and had the slightly dubious luxury of being able to write every day and then test a chapter or two out with my daughter Ruth, who was 10 at the time. The book is described as an eco-thriller for children, but many adults have enjoyed it too. The idea for the book came from a story in a Sunday newspaper about some protesters up in Thurso, who, in the light of there being a wind farm built on their doorstep, went to the beach near to the proposed site and built a dummy turbine. Then they set it alight. This caught my attention on several levels. One, I didn't really know where I stood on the wind farm debate. Were they ugly monstrosities that blighted the beautiful Scottish landscape, crushing tourism, killing birds, and destined to rust away before they ever paid for themselves? Or were they an amazing clean alternative to nuclear and coal-fired power stations that would bring jobs and stop us plundering the planet? I wasn't sure, so I thought I'd look at the debate through the eyes of a young 10-year-old girl called Jenny MacLeod, who was going to live in one of the most beautiful islands on the west coast of Scotland, Harris. Add some hardship in the mix, her mother has died of cancer and her dad's farm is on the brink of collapse. Then a baddie, Mr. Murdoch, a greedy farmer who wants the money from a proposed wind farm development and who will stop at nothing to get his way. And you have a perfect mix. Oh, and begin the story with some protesters coming onto Jenny's beach and building a giant dummy wind turbine, which they then set alight. Also make her father unsure what to do. Give him a dilemma. Should he go ahead and allow the development and possibly save his farm? Or spoil his beautiful family beach forever? Then give Jenny the idea that her mother would have hated the wind farm, and give her a Polish friend who knows all about wind farms, supposedly, and how bad they are. Then set them on a quest. A road trip through some of the most beautiful parts of Scotland. And make them be pursued by some of the nastiest people. Put a time limit on the whole thing and let the story unfold. I don't usually have a plan when I write something, and it wasn't quite as contrived as it sounds, but that's how it ended up. Here's a sample from the first chapter. Chapter 1, Hushwish Bay. Jenny felt her father's rough hand fold around hers. Perched against the needlestone above the bay, they were just out of the worst of the wind and cold. The heather shuddered at their feet, and the stunted trees marking the edge of the land arched back from the sea. Cast by the strong gales into an array of gnarled and twisted limbs, the trees resembled a row of cowering old men, harried by the western winds and battered by an angry sea. Hushwish Bay was still the most beautiful place Jenny had ever known.
"Can you see the markers, Jenny?" asked her father. "Can you see where they're going to build them?"
Her eyes half open, Jenny peered down over the heather until she saw the field beyond their farmhouse. Along its length, in the marshy dip before the dunes, 6 stone cairns shone like beacons in the morning sun. Jenny's stomach churned. "You're not going to let them go ahead, are you, Dad? Mum would have said no to all this. You know she would have."
"Your mother," her father paused, squeezing her hand a little tighter. "Your mother would have wanted what's best for you, Jenny."
"And you think that this is what's best for me? How can you think that this is what's best for the farm, Dad?" said Jenny. Unexpectedly, her father's face brightened. "Do you realise, Jenny, they'll be over 100 feet high. They'll be the tallest in the whole of the Hebrides."
"Whoopee blooming do," Jenny murmured.
Although her father was suddenly talking like some scientist explaining the most wonderful invention ever, Jenny knew that he didn't want those things in the farm either. As their old sheepdog, Lord, began barking down in the steading, she thought about her father getting up during the night. He'd taken to clattering about, making tea and pacing around at the strangest of times. She knew that he was worried about the bank and what they said. She knew he was worried about something called
repossession. The letter from the bank in Glasgow had given her father until the end of the month. He had until then to raise the amount needed to cover his debts. Jenny knew that there were only 2 days left before the month was up. "But Dad," said Jenny, "the bay won't be the same. Our home won't be the same. I've heard all about those things and what they do. They're horrible. Up at the Petrie's farm, they cut birds from the air with their horrible arms. They whistle like giant swans in the daytime and howl like phantoms in the dead of night."
"Nonsense. Who's told you that rubbish?" said her father.
"Pavel," said Jenny, suddenly feeling a bit stupid.
"I might have known."
He cuddled her in close until she could smell the tobacco from his damp tweed coat.
"It won't be that bad, Jenny," he assured her. "Look, we'll only have 6 of them. They'll sit between that bank where the tops are now and the cliff."
His fingers fluttered between the small field where they kept the rams and a rocky outcrop littered with frantic fulmars and cackling kittiwakes.
"But Dad," she protested.
"That's the end of it, Jenny."
He closed his deep-set eyes and after a long sigh whispered, "I've got no choice."
So that was a sample from chapter 1 of Windscape by Sam Welding. You can get it on Amazon or on my website by emailing me and I'll send you a signed copy. It says $6.99, I think, plus postage. Anyway, here is a sample now of some music that my son Ryan and I composed around the story. Ryan is doing some great cinematic scoring just now and he studies at Glasgow Uni. Remember, if you keep tuning in, I'll keep tuning up. Bye for now.